Do you get it? It's an interrupting cow. He interrupts. That's what he does. He's a moo, right?
That is so dumb. It's a knock knock.
Dumb. It's funny.
Hey, Laura.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
What are you doing? It's me. It's Jesus.
Lord, we take up our cross every day for you.
Oh, thank you. But the cross is where it begins, not ends.
Thou art the beginning and the end, Lord, Alpha and Omega. It's all about you, Jesus.
Guys, I just want you to be real with me.
You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe.
Drew, I think it's great when you worship me.
Oh, yes. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
It's just that sometimes it feels like you're putting on a show.
Oh, Jesus, please forgive me for putting on a show and being fake.
Okay, I forgive
you. Oh, praise you for your grace, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Guys, just say what you would normally say.
Praise Alleluia.
No, I mean, like, you know, if we were talking, you know, say what you'd say. Okay, Drew, tell us a joke.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you were before.
Thou art holy, Lord.
That's not a joke.
Oh,
no, I didn't mean that. What are you guys doing?
Jesus, we're living for you just like we always do.
Don't live for me, live in me. When you live in me, you'll understand who you are and what you're living for. I just want something a little bit deeper. But if this is all you want.
Well, morning everyone here in the chapel at Church in the Marketplace, and g'day if you're joining us on our website or on iTunes. We're glad that you're joining us this morning, and we pray that as we all open our hearts and minds to God, that God will meet us at that very point where we most need him in our lives. It was one of those kid stories. On a Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, a mum picked up her four-year-old after kids' church. The little girl said, "Guess what, mummy? I got to see Jesus today." "Wow, really?" Mum replied. And the little girl rolled her eyes at her mum and she said, "No, not the real one, Mum. And Mary, she was there too." "Really?" Mum said, as casually and as carefully as she could. "Yep, but God couldn't make it," the girl said. "That's too bad," Mum replied. "It was really neat though. They gave us these leaves and stuff and made us shake them, and we sang Joanna." "I think you mean Hosanna, honey." The girl thought about it for a few seconds and said, "No, Mum, it was Joanna." Who sang that song, by the way? Joanna. There was a song, Joanna, wasn't there? Well, today we're wrapping up this series, which we call Faith That Shakes. And we've been talking for a few weeks together at the beginning of a new year about what is a useful life, what is a significant life. And we can find no better example of a useful life and a significant life than Jesus Christ. It may not be Easter, and we may know our Hosannas from our Joannas, but we can always turn, any time turn, to the life of Jesus when we want to consider how we might go about living our lives with significance and purpose. At the end of his life, it's recorded in John 17, verse 4. It's recording Jesus praying on the night before he died. He said, "Having finished the work you gave me to do, I brought you glory on this earth." Now, that impresses me. Having finished the work. I can't say that at the end of a day, usually, let alone at the end of my life. Yet Jesus was able to say, "I finished it. I took everything you wanted me to do, God, and I did it." When I look at that, I think, well, what can I learn from Jesus about how to live a useful and a significant life? Well, I can learn how Jesus used his time, and I can learn how Jesus handled things in his life. But perhaps more than anything else, and what I want us to focus on today is, I can learn how Jesus handled his relationships. He's the expert in relationships. He shows us how to handle relationships. We look at Jesus and we see that's where he spent most of his life. That's where he made his greatest impact, in his relationships with people. Some of you remember we did a series on 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us the importance of relationships. I may speak in different languages of people or even angels, but if I do not have love, I'm only a noisy bell or a crashing cymbal. It's just noise. if I don't have love. Everything else I do is just noise. If I've missed it when it comes to relationships, then I've missed it. Today I want us to look at three simple principles identified by a preacher called Tom Holliday that Jesus shows us through his life about relationships. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Our Lord, from the very beginning, you created us for relationships. A relationship that we can have with you and a relationship that we can have with one another. And so we pray because we spend all of our life really in relationships, that you would use your word to teach us and to grow in us the capacity to have good relationships, good relationship with you and with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus' life teaches us that we're to pay the price to value others. One time Jesus had a teacher of the law come to him and ask him a very important question. Mark 12 says, the teacher asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most. That's a values question. What's the greatest value to the commandment? Jesus said without hesitation, the most important one, Jesus answered, is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. That's the most important one. And then Jesus said, the second is right behind it. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Someone came to Jesus, asked Jesus this values question: what's the most important thing we can do? What's the most important direction that God has given us? And Jesus immediately answered, no hesitation, love God, love others. Pay the price to value others. You see, it's one thing to know that other people are valuable. It's another thing to pay the price to value them. To pay the price of our time and our energy and our resources and our planning. You see, we all live with what's sometimes called the frustration gap. That's the gap between who I want to be, what I say my values are, and what I really do. We say, I want to spend more time with my kids, and then weekend after weekend goes by and we don't find the time. Something more important comes along. We don't get the time that we want. Or we say, my husband or my wife is the most important person in my life, but we just can't find the time even to go out together. And that's the frustration gap. If we're experiencing that in our relationships with God, our relationships with other people, we're not alone. Since Jesus said this was the most important thing, then how do I break through that frustration gap in loving others and loving God? Jesus said, if you want to learn to value God more, value your relationship with him, here's how you do it. And he gave us a list. You love God with all of your heart. And you love him with all of your mind and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. What's the most important thing that you and I can do with our lives tomorrow and this next week? Jesus said, the most important thing that you can do and I can do with our lives is love God. And he said, do it with 100% of yourself. Now, those of you who have got a basic grasp of mathematics have probably started to think this through. I have more people than God to love in my life. I need to love my family, some friends. I've got a lot of people to love. And if you kind of start to figure it out percentage-wise, you might think this is the way you should do it. I should love my wife or my husband. Take 20%. Get into trouble for that, won't I? I should love my kids. 20%. 5% for this friend. 10% from a parent, sort of divvy it up like that. And then maybe God, since he's the big guy, he gets 40%. He gets a bigger cut than everybody else. So why does Jesus say, love God with your all? Because I think God isn't meant to be a drain on our love. He's the source of love. When you love God with 100%, you get 100% of his love back. When I try and divvy it up, when I give God 20%, then I get 20% capacity back to love others. But when I decide to love him with my 100%, with my all, the incredible thing that happens is he loves me back with his all and he gives me all of his love resources. So Jesus says, here's how you value your relationship with God. Sell out to it. 100%. Love him with your all and then watch what happens. Love him with all of your heart. That's our feelings and emotions. Jesus says, love him with everything that you feel. Love him with your mind. That's thinking. Jesus says, love God with our thoughts. Love him with your soul. That's who we are on the inside, our personality. Love God with our whole personality. I think that's okay. Love him with your strength. That's doing. Love him with the things that we do. Which one's the most important? They all are. Jesus said, love God with all of them. See, sometimes my mind leads my heart. Sometimes my heart leads my mind. That's why I need to love God with all of four of these. Would you like to love God more? The good news is we can. Every one of us has the capacity to love God in an incredible way. That's what it means to be created in God's image. It means we've been created with the capacity to love God. Each individual has the ability to love God with the capacity and the uniqueness that no one else, nothing else in all creation has. When we love God with our all, we're loving him like no one else can. Love God uniquely. That's what you can do. Love him with your God-given personality. That's part of living a significant and a useful life. Here's a couple of practical ideas about doing it. How do I love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength? One thing is we can talk to him about our feelings. Tell him what's really on our heart. Sometimes when we pray, we talk to God like, remember the computer Hal in the movie 2001? Dave is dismantling the computer's brain and the computer's talking to Dave saying, Dave, what are you doing, Dave? No emotion, just a computer-like voice. Sometimes you and me, we feel like God is totally dismantling our lives and we go to talk to him in prayer and we say something like, God, what are you doing? God, I have holy indignation towards you now, God. And we're faking it. Like the guys we saw in the video clip a few moments ago. Why don't we just say what we're feeling? God, I'm mad at what's happening now. I can't believe what you're allowing me to go through. And then listen. See, King David, the great psalm writer of the Old Testament, he was great at it. If you don't think so, if you don't think it's okay to tell God how you're feeling, read the book of Psalms. David told God he was mad at him all the time. By the end of the psalm, David's heart usually felt better. Why? Because he talked to God about what he was feeling. The idea that if we're going to be really spiritual, we have to get rid of our feelings, that's Eastern mysticism. That's not how Jesus taught us to live. Second thing, we can talk to God about his greatness. That's one way to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. You see, what we mostly do is we exaggerate our problems and we minimize God's greatness. That's something I do anyway. Exaggerating our problems is called worry. When we do that, we also minimize God's greatness, his ability to be with us in our problems and to help us handle our problems. We need instead to flip it the other way. We need to exaggerate God's greatness so that we minimize our problems. When we exaggerate God's greatness, that's something called praise. So here's a dare for you. I dare you to over-exaggerate God's greatness. I dare you to do it. Because our problems are so close to us, you see, we have to try sometimes. We have to try as much as we can to exaggerate how great God is, what a tremendous God he is. I'm not suggesting that we lie, but I'm suggesting that we get a spirit of, an attitude of exaggerating God's greatness, because we can't over-exaggerate how great God is. Anything we say, God's already topped it. He made the universe, and when you and I try to exaggerate his greatness in our hearts and praise him in that kind of way, we find ourselves drawn into loving him more. Love God with all our heart. Jesus also taught us how to value our relationships with others. He said it very simply. The second command is this: love your neighbor as yourself. That's so simple. We're also interested. We're pretty interested in ourselves, aren't we? We look at ourselves in the mirror just to see how things are for the day. We check ourselves out in the mirror as we walk past it in the department store. We all do it. We're interested in our own lives. Jesus says that interest that we have in ourselves have the same interest in other people. God made them as much as he made you. God has a purpose for their life just as great as the purpose he has for our lives. Love others as we love ourselves. Love our neighbour. There's a lot of things behind who a neighbour is, I know, and we could have a whole message about that. It's anybody that's in need. It's anybody that we come in contact with. But in real practical terms, start with the people around us, at home, in our community, those neighbours, love them. Here's a confession. I don't know about you. I find it so much easier to love somebody three countries away than I do somebody next door. If we're going to have relationships at work, we're going to have to pay the price to value others. We have to, as Philippians 2 verse 3 says, be humble and give more honour to others than to ourselves. So the first key to relationships at work is valuing others. The second key is seek the strength to love others. Aren't there times for all of us when loving somebody, a daughter, a son, a husband, a wife, a friend, somebody at work, when loving somebody else as much as we can just isn't enough? Jesus says, seek a new kind of strength to love other people. A guy called William Morris wrote a poem once called Love is Enough. Next day, the critic in the newspaper wrote a review that was two words long. It said, it isn't. And it isn't always enough, is it? Our human love. We need a greater strength, and Jesus wants to give us that greater strength. We saw the greatest commandment and the second commandment. Jesus said, I want to give you a new commandment. Greatest commandment, second commandment, I want to give you a new commandment. John 13:34, I'm giving you a new commandment to you now. Love each other just as much as I love you. Now, I look at that and I wonder, what's so new about it? Love your neighbour, love each other. What's so new about this new commandment? The quality of love is what is new. The greatest commandment says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. The second commandment says, love as you love yourself. But this new commandment, Jesus says, let's take it to a new level. Love as I love you. And folks, the only way I'm going to be able to love in that kind of way is by drawing on the strength that Jesus has given me to love. Jesus wanted us to understand just how great his love is. In Luke 6, he gave us this direction. I want you to imagine you're one of the disciples sitting before Jesus, hearing this for the first time. Imagine what they would have thought. Jesus looks at them and says, love your enemies. That's pretty tough. How are we going to love our enemies? Then he says, let's make it more practical. Do good to them. It's one thing to love our enemies, but now we have to do good to them too, Lord. That's tough. How am I going to do that? And then Jesus says, lend to them. That's way too much, Lord. Lend to them. Lend to my enemies. Does that shock you? Are any of us lending to our enemies? And then Jesus says, do it without expecting them to repay. Jesus, I can't believe that. Those disciples must have been thinking, how can I love in that kind of way? It's one of those Jesus kind of illustrations. He's trying to say, the kind of love that I am challenging you to, you can't do it in your own strength. You're going to have to find a greater strength. Look at how he finished what he was saying and puts everything into perspective. Then the reward from heaven will be very great and you'll be truly acting as sons and daughters of God, for he is kind to the unthankful and to those who are very wicked. Folks, I'm glad that God gave to me when I was paying no attention to him. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still God's enemies, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. That's the example, Jesus says. That's the new kind of love that can happen in our lives. Do you want to improve your ability to love? I do. How do we do that? We need a couple of things. We need a better example to improve our love. You see, we all tend to follow the example that we grew up with. We tend to parent like we were parented. We tend to have the same kind of relationship in marriage as we saw growing up. We tend to relate to other believers like we see other people relating to other believers. We tend to do that. The problem is, what if I had a bad example? And the truth is, we all had imperfect examples. We need a better example. Jesus says, I want to provide that for you. And he says it works like this. The Father loved me, and as the Father loved me, the example I saw in his love, I love you in that same kind of way. I took that power and used it to love you. Let's take it one step further, he says. The love that I love you with, I want you to take it, and I want you to love one another with that same kind of love. Draw on my power to love one another, and then the world can see what my love is like. A better example. 1 John 4:19 says it this way, we love because he first loved us. I look at his example, I draw on his strength. I need a stronger foundation. None of us can give what we haven't received. That doesn't make sense. How can I give something which I haven't received yet? We can't give somebody forgiveness unless we've received forgiveness. We can't give somebody else unconditional love or grace unless we've received it. Jesus provides for us a foundation where we can always find forgiveness. We can always find grace. We can always find unconditional love. When we can build our love on that foundation, it won't crumble. Human love will let us down sooner or later. Even the best relationships that we have aren't perfect. But in Jesus, we can find the foundation that we can build a stronger ability to love on. 3, I also need a higher purpose. Jesus said, love each other like this so the world can see that you are my disciples. You see, love has a purpose that is greater than itself, that's higher than itself. That's a surprise to Hollywood, I suspect, and to all those love songs that we hear. It sounds like human love is the highest purpose in the world. But Jesus says love has got to have a purpose that's higher than itself. Otherwise, it ends up caving in on itself. It ends up sounding like some country and western love song. And who wants our love to be like that? Here's the purpose, Jesus said. Our love can show the world what my love is like. That's a great purpose. And you and I have the ability to do that. I need a greater power. Folks, don't try to love like this on our own power. Don't try to take up this challenge and do it with our own energy and strength. The whole reason Jesus came and gave us this new commandment was to help us realize we need to draw on his strength. We've got to ask for his help to love other people like this, to seek the love like Jesus does. There's a third key to having relationships at work, and it's watching the way we treat others. I think this is the toughest one for me. It's one thing to value others with the utmost value. It's another thing to love others with a great love. But it's a tough thing to love people, to be nice to people, to be good with people, to be forgiving of people in everyday life. That's why Jesus came to give us something that we've called the golden rule. It's all about how we treat others. Luke 6:31 says, treat others the way you want them to treat you. That's a simple rule. All parents will realize that there is a possible loophole in the golden rule. We say, treat others the way we want them to treat us, and our kids come back at us with, but I want to be wrestled to the ground and have my face stuck in an anthill. I like that. So if I want it, then they must want it too. And that's the loophole. I don't know if you realize it, but just a few verses later, beside the golden rule, to help us understand what the golden rule means, there's the platinum rule, and it's in the book of Luke. The platinum rule is Luke 6:36. Try to show as much compassion as your father does. That's a whole new rule. But that puts it in perspective. That tells me what the golden rule really means, that I find in God's love the way to treat others. And this is the tough part. It's one thing to say, I want to love you. It's another thing to treat you well. It's one thing to say, I want to love you. It's another thing when you have a problem that you want to talk about during my favorite TV show. It's one thing to say, I love you with all my heart. It's another thing to decide who's going to get the last bowl of ice cream. It's where the rubber hits the road when it comes to love. Treat others in a brand new kind of way, it says. The Bible is very clear about how to treat people and about how not to treat people. I can talk all I want about a commitment to great relationships, but if my talk doesn't change the way I treat others, it's worth nothing. The Bible says, here's how not to treat people in relationships. Philippians 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. They're two attitudes that are guaranteed to destroy relationships. Selfish ambition, what will I get out of this relationship? Anytime we run a relationship on what we will get out of it, it's going to be destroyed eventually. It's not going to work. It's like somebody who says, this is like a woman who says, I'm going to have a baby so that baby can meet all my needs for love and comfort. And then what happens when said baby wakes up at 2 a.m. in the morning and then again at 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. and your needs aren't being met because you have to give love. And vain conceit, how will I look? Sometimes people wear relationships like a flashy gold bracelet. It's who we're with trying to make us feel better. That kind of love doesn't work. The Bible tells us what does work in relationships. We looked at it some time back in 1 Corinthians 13. There's a little list there, so we won't stay long on it. Verse 3, love is very patient and it's kind. That's how we should treat others, with patience and kindness. It's never jealous. Hollywood tries to make us believe that jealousy equals love, but it's a lie. It's not true. Jealousy is insecurity, not love. Love is never envious. It's never boastful or proud. It's never haughty or selfish or rude. Love doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. It doesn't hold grudges. It will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. That's what makes relationships work. Love is patient. It has to be patient. We spend a lot of life in the waiting room, you know? Genuine love will have to be patient with other people. If we really love somebody, sometimes we're going to have to wait for them. Sometimes we're going to have to wait for them to grow. Sometimes we're going to have to wait for them to change. Sometimes we're going to have to wait for them to heal or to get motivated. God waits for me to grow. God waits for me to change. God waits for me to be healed. God waits for me to get motivated. That's the kind of love he challenges in our lives. That's what love is. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It hardly even notices when others do it wrong. Folks, I've got a secret that's probably not a secret about your husband, your wife, your kids, your best friend, your parents. They make mistakes on purpose. They have a rebellious heart sometimes. They are sinners. Maybe the real secret of it is this. They're just like you and me. We're all sinners. We all need God's forgiveness. Because of that, if our relationships are going to work, forgiveness is one of the key ways we need to treat other people. That's how God loves me. Jesus Christ forgives me day after day after day from the bottom of his heart. That's what the cross is all about. The cross gives me the power to forgive others. I couldn't forgive anybody without that power. But I can see in that cross the way to begin to do it in my relationships. Treat others the way Jesus treated me. Why do you need to give? Why do we need to forgive? For something that happened yesterday or 20 years ago? When it comes to this kind of love, Jesus is the perfect example. He showed us the way, but it's more than that. He didn't just show us how to love. He loved us in that kind of way. He loved us himself with that kind of love. 1 John 4 says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into this wicked world to bring us eternal life through his death. In this act, we see what real love is. If you and I want to see real love, look at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's real love. I imagine that we all want to be better in our relationships. Friends, don't try to be better in our human relationships. without first of all a relationship with Jesus. That's where it starts. It starts by beginning a relationship with him. You don't have to wait till Easter. You don't have to have some magical time to do it. You can start a relationship with Jesus Christ any day. Pick it up again any day. Doesn't even have to be a Sunday. Can be a Monday or a Tuesday. Some of you, maybe that's where you're at right now. If your relationships are going to be better, you need God's strength and power as we know it in the cross of Jesus. So why not start today? Simple thing. Just have to talk to him in prayer and tell him, I want to start a relationship with you, Jesus. So why don't we give ourselves that opportunity right now? Let's pray. Jesus, this is it. Today I'm starting a relationship with you. I ask you to forgive me for the wrong things I've done. Thank you that you've told me that I'm forgiven so I can start to be closer to you. I want you to start to show me how to live, direct my life, guide me. I've got a lot to learn. Would you teach me? And for some of us, Lord, we're tired of trying to do it in our own strength. Would you give us a new strength to love the people around us this next week? To love somebody that's tough to love. To love in a relationship that we're really struggling with. Jesus, thank you that you love us. We thank you that you love us so clearly we don't have to guess at it. You went to a cross and you gave everything for us. Lord, we pray that we would find in your love and the relationship we have with you the ability to see the relationships in our life improve and begin to grow. None of us is perfect, Lord. We know we're going to struggle, but we can also grow. Help us to grow in our relationships the rest of our lives. As we get closer to you, help us to get closer to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.